Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, this podcast that shines a light on the transformative power of public speaking in driving professional success and business growth. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and today's episode is going to be a profound journey into the intersection of performance, healing, and leadership. Welcome, everybody. On today's show, I'm honored to welcome Vanessa Browers, a true pioneer in the realm of human-centered performance. Vanessa's journey is as fascinating as it is inspiring. From her early days in the corporate C-suite world, where she honed her skills in process improvement, to her transition into the realms of coaching, healing, and shamanism, Vanessa has consistently pushed the boundaries of what it means to lead and perform at the highest levels. As a coach and healer, Vanessa has spent over a decade working with the top entrepreneurs, organizational leaders, and professionals, helping them dismantle inner barriers to performance, alleviate stress, and fundamentally transform the way they lead and operate. Her approach is rooted in the understanding that by prioritizing the human experience, we unlock untapped potential and drive unparalleled results. In her role as a culture shaman, Vanessa is on a mission to infuse organizations with a renewed focus on humanity, working with esteemed institutions such as Reddit, LinkedIn, and leading universities to cultivate cultures that foster true thriving and consequently elevate performance to new heights. So please join me in welcoming Vanessa Browers, the high performance healer, as we delve into her insights and strategies for creating environments where both individuals and organizations create and flourish together. Thanks for being here, Vanessa.
What an intro. Thank you so much. Really good to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here too. And you know, I'm always really curious about where it all began and, you know, what transpired to put someone on their quest. And I certainly want to ask you about that. We're going to jump into that.
I have always been a really wild mix of restlessness, trauma, and drive. And I guess, you know, a good sense of humor as well. And so for me, it was really this navigating of where do I put all of this energy? What do I do with it? Sometimes I feel like I'm a lightning rod, just channeling energy all the time. And so it took me a really long time to understand what to do with it intentionally. In my early 20s, that really looked like I was just backpacking out all over the world. And I landed in Australia and I ended up through a temp organization working in the C-suite of an enormous corporation, and they liked me. You know, I am very smart. I'm very ambitious. I was always also like a little like ahead of my skills. You know what I mean? I was always selling. And so I landed a really great job as the head of the process improvement department of an enormous corporation at the age of 25. Wow. So here I am, this literal like wild backpacker who, you know, I'm partying all night and then at the table with the CEO in the morning. It was so surreal, but I always needed this balance of just like totally rebel fun and really big challenges. And though it was those things, I also realized pretty quickly that they were going to catch on to me and probably fire me when they realized I really didn't want to work in corporate. And, you know, so I gracefully exited before I was booted. No, I look back and I love that time in my life, but I really was called, I think because of my volatile childhood, I really was called into deeper modes of healing. And so I took that same, you know, fascination with the way processes worked in an organization. And I kind of switched it to how does a process work in an organism? You know, what's going on in the human organism? And so I started working with people through health which is a very intimate journey. Mm-hmm. And it baffled me. Why do my clients who come in and talk to me about their husbands and their relationships and their work life get better weight and health results than the clients who come in obsessing about broccoli and macronutrients and calories burned? It was such a paradox to me. And I'm an investigator. I started learning and studying, and it took me down a very different path than this just very human performance centered approach. And I just sort of intuitively and in my training started learning how to help people heal. So they would come to me and say, help me make more money, help me grow my business, help me be a better leader. And it would be, talk to me about your dad, talk to me about your mom, talk to me about your childhood. Let's look at these patterns of perfectionism and obsession and why you're working so hard and where your overwhelm comes from. And so I started teaching people how to feel and really to look inside, because, you know, we're all kind of built with this sort of standard operating system, the kind of energy we bring, the volume of energy we bring, the speed of energy we bring, but our life experiences either distort and flatten those energies, or they sort of over amplify them and they come out in performance. And so I, as I worked more and more with people, I started to see that these very practical surface level material results are rooted in really, really very human experiences. And so I started to connect the dots and help people essentially align their energy so it's flowing the right way and they can really be themselves and work at the capacity they were built for.
So this is where that human experience for you is kind of left out. It may have been left out on the way to they're trying to have this incredible corporate experience, this, you know, work advancement. So you really feel the human experience is pivotal.
It is. And, you know, most of my work is with really high level leaders and really high performing entrepreneurs. And it kind of works the same in both. Yeah. It's when you really, really, really tune in to what's happening at the human level, you know, you're the machine. So if you know how your machine operates, you know what to tweak to make you run faster and, you know, tone down if it's kind of having the opposite impact. And yeah, you become much clearer on who you are, what you do, and what you stand for.
So if you're the leader of a group of people, and that's an area of focus for you is leadership. So how do you go about bringing that together for your team? If you're trying to put that focus, I mean, this is a focus of yours, right?
Yes. Yeah. It's such a good question.
How do you educate that leader to be exceptional at understanding that how connected it is to have the human experience?
Well, I can answer sort of two different ways. I can answer what I do with my team, or I can also talk about how it works when I work with a leader, because it's a little bit different. Do you have a preference?
I take both. I like to cover it all.
Okay.
So take one at a time.
You know, so this morning I was talking to my team and I've noticed a pattern in my team, which is that I noticed that we have these high performance meetings every Monday where I teach them what I teach. And I noticed that often, more and more often, I'm leaving the meeting talking to my partner saying, what on earth was up with so-and-so? And why was so-and-so such a drag in this meeting is going on? You know, where's the engagement? Where's the life? And what I realized is that because we've cultivated so much of an environment of your human experience is welcome here, it actually created sort of a backlash of, well, I'm having a bad day. And so I'm just going to sit here and, like, you know, we took it a little too far. And so today what I was teaching my team is to understand how to understand where their energy wants to go. So very practically, I was saying, what are your values? What do you value? What do you value? And is the quality of time and attention that you place on a day-to-day basis in alignment with those values? And if it's not, your human organism, the way you show up at different places, you're going to be malfunctioning. The same way if you were a robot, for example, and you were putting in the wrong fuel, I'm assuming this robot works on fuel, it's going to be like, you know, the elbow is going to be operating clunky and you're not going to be this machine that you want to be. And so I do two things. One, I teach my team how to use their energy and how to get really honest about the quality of it. So I also, because I saw this pattern evolving, I'm not going to walk in and say, you guys need to get it together. I asked them, evaluate the quality of your energy in these meetings on a scale of 1 to 10. What is it? For most of them, it was about a 5. And then we talked about the fact that there was too much of their human experience coming into kind of that was like muddying their human performance. And then just how to kind of gently recalibrate that, not to make anybody wrong, not to shame them for it, but how to raise the quality of your energy and attention, even when there's really hard stuff going on outside, which is not about compartmentalizing and, you know, pretending that it doesn't happen, shutting it off at work. It's about understanding like how to bring a different quality of attention, even while this hard thing is happening. And so for me, I think what typically happens is as a leader, and this sort of answers the other question, mm-hmm. it can be difficult when you're not getting the response that you want. And so if I were operating from normal corporate leadership, I would say, hey, you need to get it together. When you're in these meetings, here's what I expect from you. If I'm too far on my side, which I have been, it's, oh, I'm so sorry. Your friend passed away, free pass to showing up like, you know, me completely collapsed human being. There's a space between where you as the leader, first and foremost, have to look at your contribution to the behavior. You have to look at the places that you're taking it personally. You have to be willing to take ownership and then also have the courage to hold your standards. And this person was not incredibly passive about her response when I brought it to her. She was like, that's in conflict with everything that you teach. And so there has to be this level of allowance for people to have discomfort and it not to impact you as a leader. So when I work with a team, I'm helping them understand what's going on inside the person. And then when it kind of shows up in the way I didn't want it to in the group, I have to address that. But when I work with a leader, I'm really helping them hold the places where their team's behavior is triggering and disruptive and you know, creates reactivity in them, because then guess what we're doing? We're right in the healing work with the leader, so that whatever personal experiences are creating those agitations, they disappear little by little by little. So they're no longer taking anybody's behavior personally.
So it's really a balancing act, isn't it? And at the same time, you're kind of riding quite the tightrope. If you're the leader, you're riding, you know, a real tightrope between what it is for you and what it is for them. And we still need to create, we need to generate performance.
That's right.
But we want to do it with a human element to it, because they are, after all, first humans.
Yes, 100%. And it is really an act of cultivating harmony. And the thing that I believe also, the reason why I think that at the end of the day, this does work, people want to perform. It doesn't feel good not to. It feels really bad to have a goal and have metrics either you set or set for you and not hit them. Mm-hmm. And what happens for people is when their human experience gets in the way of their performance and then their performance is negative, what people tend to do is not say, oh, it was my low quality experience that created the negative result. What they usually say is, see, that negative result proves that I'm not good enough. It proves that I'm not capable. And so when you actually use this as, hey, listen, you're like, you can't show up like this and expect this result. And oh, by the way, I understand why you're showing up like this. Let's handle this so that you can shift your energy and get the result you want. All of a sudden, both for the organization and for the individual, we're saying your results are always a reflection of the places for you to improve not only your performance, but also your experience. One of my team members today laughed and she said, I am so neurotic and I have no idea how not to be neurotic. And I was like, can't you see how when you're super neurotic, your performance suffers? And she's like, yes, help me fix it.
Well, I love this. I think it actually, as you explain that, it just really makes perfect sense. And I think it makes it so much easier to operate within your system. So you have mentioned throughout, you know, your work, you know, you've got to tell me, what is a culture shaman? I want to hear your explanation of that. And how does something that's really spiritual fit into mainstream corporations?
It fits in because human beings are at essence spirits. And so when we tend to that level of our being, again, it's like a deeper level of the human experience. Those same humans can show up at work. And when we don't tend to those parts of our being, those same humans show up at work. And so what you see is that a group of people, no matter how well-intentioned your culture is or what you want to create or what a good leader you are, you're still leading, and depending on the number of people that you lead, quite a few people. And so when those people come together, it creates these dynamics, right? That makes sense. Group mm-hmm. dynamics. And what I do when I work with an organization, so for example, last week my partner and I were working with a group of CEOs who were having a hard time collaborating. And so we did this very extensive 360 review. And my partner asked me at one point, every single person said they had no interest at all in the positive feedback. They only wanted the negative feedback. Why? What would cause that? And this is what a culture shaman does. So a shaman works with energy. So if you were to come to me and say, I'm having all these issues in my relationships and I just can't experience intimacy, there's an energetic pattern in you as a person that's causing that. So the first thing a shaman does is nothing is a problem. Nothing is a problem. There's some sort of energetic dysfunction that's causing this result. In a culture, it's the same thing. So I look at this organism and say, what's going on here that nobody wants positive feedback? That's super interesting. The real energetic sensitivity that I have, where I finally said, there's no trust here. There's no trust. There's no safety. And she said, oh my gosh, you're absolutely right. And I said, think about it. If you're in a relationship with a person and you don't have, there's not this energetic of safety and acceptance between that person, and they say, hey, I've got some feedback for you. I have some positive and some negative. Most likely you're going to obsess and fixate over the negative and probably throw out the positive. And so what I do when I work as a culture shaman is I look at the more subtle, less obvious, less visible patterns that are resulting in group culture team dynamics, and then we address them. And so, but what we would look at and say, for example, we can take it even deeper, is this particular leader, and this was what was going on, this particular leader is creating a lot of imbalance in the team because they are obsessed with not being respected. So they go into this kind of bullying dynamic, which creates a lack of safety, therefore a lack of collaboration. We can take it one step further. And I said to my partner, tell me about his relationship to his father. And she was like, oh, Vanessa, we got to shut it down now. But when I look at a person, I don't necessarily have to go into the healing work with that leader. I can, but because I understand that that's how deeply rooted these dynamics are, I can now work with that leader on gaining respect without trying to dominate his authority.
Wow. This has so many exquisite layers to it.
It does.
I could enjoy this conversation for a very long time. So let me try to jump into something else I wanted to ask you about, since it's your culture shaman, I want you to tell all of us about the differences you see between sacred sales and regular sales. What do you mean by sacred sales?
So the difference between sacred sales and regular sales, I think for me, is that in a sacred sales, in all sales, really in all sales, you are creating enough clarity for the person to see that they're at the crossroads and make a choice. In a regular sales dynamic, there might be more persuasion. There might be more of your own agenda trying to influence the outcome. So in a regular sales conversation, I think a lot of people could argue that the goal is to get the person to buy. In a sacred sales conversation, the ultimate goal is to get the person to choose, and understanding and recognizing that your job as the salesperson is to hold the sacred duty, responsibility of not imposing your agenda on that person, and actually instead creating all of the, like really creating as much clarity to helping them see you are at a crossroads. All I am here to do is illuminate the pathway and then throw my hands back and let you choose. It's very challenging because we bring our agendas and we're triggered by their responses. And we, you know, have our own stakes involved in the game. And in a sacred sales conversation, your job is to notice all the places that you're putting too much of you in the conversation and showing up as an act of service to create such epic clarity that you are as thrilled with a clear yes as a clear no. And you're willing to ask the hard questions, say the hard thing, show up 100% as yourself. And so the other thing that sales does is shows you all the places that you're willing to shift and chameleon and contort and become whoever you need to be to get the sale and instead do the opposite. So it becomes just as much about the person and one side creating this epic clarity that is their decision through the act of being unapologetically yourself. And they're both radical in a sales dynamic.
Vanessa, this is a beautiful, beautiful explanation of such a positive sales experience when so much selling's going on out there and it doesn't feel positive. I'm in that situation a lot from both sides. And I love your perspective. I used to have he's still a good friend of mine, but I remember him switching industries and going from running restaurants and knowing all your clientele to selling cars. And he said, I think I'd be great at selling cars. And then when they came in to get him to, you know, slam people in the box and sell that car and don't let them leave. And he goes, I'm not doing it like that. I'm helping people buy cars. I don't sell cars. I help people buy cars. And you've just taken that to a new level and it really, really resonates for me. So what do you think is the biggest barrier to people selling in a more authentic way today? And how can they overcome that?
I think the biggest barrier is the misconception that being excellent at sales means you're excellent at manipulating.
Interesting. What a great way to phrase that.
And what I would say to that is if you're manipulating, you're not selling, you're manipulating. They're not even the same.
Two different things.
And so the way through that really is to recognize that the sales conversation is about bringing the awareness of what the choice really is. And I think the second biggest misconception is that assuming that the person in front of you really does know what the choice is. Most people come into a sales conversation almost like looking at their options. Oh, I don't know. Maybe I want to learn speaking from you, or maybe I want to hire that speaker. You know, it's like you assume that they're really clear on what they want and what happens if they don't get it. And that's rarely the case. Rarely the case. You know, most of us operate from a pretty shallow level of self-awareness, even if we're pretty self-reflective, we can only take ourselves so far. So when you really just realize that sales is just an opportunity to help somebody else get super clear, and that's if you're selling yourself as a speaker, if you're selling your services as a coach, if you're selling a policy as a leader, like you just have to understand that sales is about helping people see you can go this way or you can go this way. Which way do you want to go?
This is so refreshing after the last few weeks I've had listening to different sellers. I just want to tell you how fabulous it is to hear this. And I think this is such valuable information for our audience. Great perspective. Now, let me shift gears on you a little bit because you are a coach. You are in a position to, you know, your team has to sell. And public speaking has had to be an important component to what you do, hasn't it?
Oh, it's like my favorite.
Did you know that all along? Was that apparent to you from the beginning or did you discover it?
Isn't it one of those things where you discover what you've known all along?
Yeah, I have to say.
It's always in hindsight. You know, funny enough, my earliest success as a coach was through, I don't know that I would have called it public speaking at the time, but that's exactly what it was. I would just put on these workshops in local places, and I would go do a talk, give a talk, and sometimes in a series, and then people would hire me. And somehow I never made the connection that I was creating my entire business through public speaking.
Wow.
And then I hired a bunch of coaches to show me how to grow my business. None of it had to do with speaking. So I kind of abandoned it for a long time, and I became really dissatisfied and actually quite bored in my business, even though I was making great money. I was coaching awesome people, but that's also part of my work as a coach. It doesn't matter how great your results are if your experience isn't what it's supposed to be. And I realized that somewhere along the line, I put down public speaking because I found other ways to grow my business and I became less satisfied. So actually, public speaking is now probably a larger part of my business, both in the thing that I like, that's a revenue, that's where I create a lot of my revenue, but it's also a way to bring in new clients. I think public speaking is just magic for me.
Well, there's nothing that works faster or better in growing a business is to let people know, like, and trust you. And if they can listen to you on, you know, uninterrupted, so to speak, and really just listen to your free flowing thought, they get a sense of who you are. And, you know, certainly I feel that way today. I think people are going to have a real feel of what's important to you, what the value is that you bring. And do you include your team in this, or your clients? Do you tell your clients, your corporate clients, that public speaking is, you know, would be valuable to them?
Oh, I think that there's such a beautiful synergistic flow between my clients and corporate public speaking. Most of my speaking has come through my corporate clients, and then many more of my clients come through that speaking. So there's this beautiful symbiotic relationship, because quite often I'll be in a, you know, client relationship, and they'll, because they're leaders, they'll be sharing this, you know, challenge that they're up against. And I'll say, why don't you bring me in and I'll speak to your team? And so it's just, you know, to me, public speaking is like coaching a group, you know, in essence. Sure. There's some, even though it's not necessarily a dialogue, it has that energy for me. And so, yeah, the flow between my one-on-one clients and my speaking, it's the most obvious kind of relationship.
Makes total sense. It makes total sense, especially with you. You can see that's a gift. That's a zone of genius for you. So it's really exciting. So, you know, now let me ask you, as you reflect upon this career that you've created and you're in the chapter that you're in right now, you know, what are you most proud of, and what's the legacy that you hope to leave behind?
What a great question. Oh my, well, let me just enjoy the question for a second. The most challenging thing I overcame was to be fully present with my daughter. And I have a 4.5-year-old daughter named Pepper, and she's just an angel. I adore this child. I think every parent feels that way about their kid, but I was, for the first several years, I had such a hard time being present when I was with her, because I always had my attention pulling to work as an entrepreneur. You know, it just kind of like never really stops. Being able to actually completely shut it off, no matter what was going on circumstantially in my business, whether I was killing it or getting killed by it, I can absolutely shut it off. I can have coffee on my deck every morning and listen to the birds. I can kick icicles around to my dog. I can giggle hysterically with my daughter, even after bombing a training, yeah, which happens. I think that's one of the things I'm most proud of.
Yeah. I love that answer. Not that I would judge anybody's answer, but that was completely unexpected. And I'm glad that question intrigued you. That's terrific, because that's
pretty on brand, huh? For the human
experience. I'm just saying. So my last question to you will be, tell me what's next for you. What are the projects or the initiatives that are on the horizon that you're particularly passionate about?
The next horizon is probably one of the most, it's going to challenge me in ways I've not yet been challenged, which will be fun, is that I have entered into partnership with a very good friend, and I'm stepping into her business and which is a challenge for many reasons. I'm not the top dog, which is I've always been. Buckle up. And it's challenging a new level of collaboration, grace, humility. I'm being challenged by someone who, I mean, when you're a solo entrepreneur, you have challenges, but no one's challenging you.
Yes.
And my goodness, she doesn't back down and I don't back down. And it's just so much fun. So, you know, it's also, they're not all my ideas. It's not all my vision. In many ways, I'm sort of like influencing and contributing to her vision, but it isn't all mine. And I feel like anyone who is an entrepreneur listening will really get that.
That is such a delicious answer to me. And as a, I don't like the term particularly serial entrepreneur, but I am one. Mm. And having, you know, a lot of us, we're good at leading and we have a lot of initiative, but we do a lot of stuff alone. And you can only grow so much by yourself. And finding the right partner is a challenge. And then having a partner is a challenge for just the reasons you spoke of. I know, because I'm in all of this too. And so I'm like, oh my God, she speaks to the heart of it. And it's a new level of yourself that you get to explore. And you get to share the experience. And you have to share the experience. And so it's just an adventure. I always end up going, all right, it's just an adventure. Let's see how you're doing this one. That's really all you can do.
Yep.
Vanessa, this has been a pleasure on every level. I can't thank you enough for coming to the show. And honestly, your insights and what you do with coaching and healing and shamanism, you know, it's really, it's enlightening and you're intriguing. That's all I can say. And, you know, for those people who are listening right now, if you want to know more about Vanessa, go to her website at VanessaBrouwerCoaching.com. And you spell her name for those that are listening. It's Vanessa, B-R-O-E-R-S. And here's something else I discovered that is tremendous, that on her website, she has a free sacred sales training that you can get. It's 60 minutes, and it'll really give you a feel for how effective Vanessa's program is. And one of the key takeaways I took from this conversation is the, you know, the profound impact of prioritizing the human experience in driving performance and creating thriving cultures within an organization. I think a lot of people could benefit that, a lot of companies and a lot of employees. So remember that focusing on the people behind the processes can lead to really substantial and transformative results. Yes, on professional terms, but on personal realms as well. So really, thank you, Vanessa.
Thank you. Thanks.
And I want to thank you, incredible audience, for tuning into today's episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. Just please know your support really means everything to us. So don't forget to like and share and even subscribe to the show and make your comments. I love to hear what you think about the show and the guests that we have. And I want to give a special shout out to our sponsor, SpeakerTunity.com. They provide really invaluable resources and tools and opportunities for those looking to kind of kickstart their speaking journey, or to those seasoned speakers who want more access to bigger stages, because speaking is the way. If you want to exponentially grow your business, speaking's the way to do it, because they really get a chance to know and feel and like and trust you. So with that said, it's Kelly O'Hara signing off. And please remember, your voice has the power to change not only your world, but the world. So speak up, speak out, never underestimate the impact of your words. And as always, I can't wait to share our next guest with you. So I'll see you all next week. Have a good one, everybody. I want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an empowering conversation. We'd also appreciate it if you could leave us a review and share the show with your friends, colleagues, and your fellow visionaries. Until next time, keep speaking, keep growing, and keep reaching to make your difference. This is Kelly O'Hara, signing off from the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.